Before we get into this, I want you to understand something. The things that I'm about to tell you are not intended to bring doom or fear into your life, but a word of warning and preparedness to be ready. All throughout the Bible, we are warned to be ready and prepare for the things that are coming upon the earth and to put on the full armor. I want to read to you here in Jeremiah chapter 6, starting in verse 17, going through 19. It says, "Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." The Bible says in Isaiah 58 and 1, "Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet, and warn my people of their transgressions." We are called to be watchmen. If we claim to be believers and followers of Jesus Christ, we are set upon the wall as a watchman to warn the people, to ready the body of Christ for the things that are coming upon the earth as we see prophecy being fulfilled daily. Now, I ask you to take a moment to pray for discernment. Ask the Lord to give you eyes to see and ears to hear. Again, I'm not bringing you these things to bring negativity, doubt, or fear. As the Bible tells us, we are not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We know that all things work together to the good of them who love God and who are called according to His purpose. But we are called to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We cannot bury our head in the sand to the wiles of the devil. We must pay attention to what's going on so we will know the seasons that we are in. Now, with that being said, I noticed recently that the White House released a press briefing talking about how we are going to win the race to 6G. And when I looked into this, what this 6G was, I read this article on the whitehouse.gov website, and I'm going to read that for you. In section one, it is the purpose of this race towards 6G. It says, "The next generation of mobile communication networks, 6G, will be foundational to the national security, foreign policy, and economic prosperity of the United States. This technology will play a pivotal role in the development and adaption of emerging technologies like artificial intelligence, robotics, and implantable technologies." Now, when I saw that, my spirit kind of had a buzzer go off in it, and I was like, implantable technologies. We're racing toward a technology that has implantable technologies. Now, if you've seen some of my previous messages on this podcast, we've talked about the advancement of AI and how super intelligence is the third and final phase, and how the White House just signed the Genesis mission, and how CERN is running these Stargate projects that are essentially giant mechanical witchcraft machines that do all sorts of things in this nature. But when you see how we are racing towards 6G and the White House says that it is going to implement implantable technology, that means that you're going to involve technology into the flesh of a man. And that goes back again, I've mentioned this several times, to the book of Daniel when he said the fourth and final kingdom that is set up upon the earth will be the kingdom of iron and miry clay. And he said the iron will mingle themselves together with the seed of the miry clay. Now it goes on to say that this will not work, but it says that he will do it. So that tells me that we're going to see something like the machine trying to merge with man, because the seed of the miry clay is the offspring of mankind, right? Because Adam was formed out of the miry clay. Now, I saw something that was kind of disturbing. The president recently said in an interview, "What does 6G do? Give you a deeper view into somebody's skin?"
I just finished 5G. I was a leader on 5G getting that done. And now they're up to 6.
Let's do it again.
What does that do? Give you a little bit deeper view into somebody's skin? See how perfect it is? I like the cameras the old days. So they just had a nice feature. Now they cover every little. Let's see, Michael, you're in good shape. You're not gonna. But I tell you, it's So you're, the six is coming, huh?
It's coming.
Does it ever end?
Now, when I saw this comment, I thought, why would he say something like that? But when you look at the technology that they have with this frequency that they put out that is so strong that it can literally cause problems with brain waves and thought processes. This is a very high power technology, and it uses the airwaves to manipulate energy. And it makes me think about that scripture that says Satan is the prince of the power of the air. But as we're seeing these technologies come online and this system that is getting stronger by the day that all revolves around AI, I noticed that all over the country, these flock cameras are going up. I'm seeing more and more articles about these cities that are putting up these flock cameras. And they're basically these cameras that you see on the interstate. And whether you travel on the interstate or in towns, you're going to be on camera. They're monitoring your every move. I recently saw a video on the Lackluster channel, which is a channel that holds police accountable. They show these videos to bring awareness to what's going on in society with police and interactions with the public. But there was a lady who was at home just minding her own business, and a detective knocked on her door. He had some paperwork and a court summons to serve her. And she said, I'm not sure what this is about. He said, well, we have you on our flock cameras, and we had you driving through this neighborhood at this time, and we know that you stopped and stole a package off of someone's porch. And she's like, that's nonsense. I wasn't even in that area. It was my husband that was driving here. He said, well, when we looked up the car, we found you, and you looked similar to the woman that was on the Ring doorbell camera, so I know for a fact it's you. This woman had to go through some pretty deep stuff to vindicate herself of this crime, all because these people were viewing her on this flock camera, carrying out her personal, her everyday life. Her husband was driving the vehicle. I don't know all the minor details, but I do know that she was accused of a crime that she did not commit, because these cameras that they have on the interstates and on the highways that are monitoring our every move. And it makes me think about the surveillance system and their surveillance state that is in China. In China, they have the world's largest artificial intelligence surveillance system called Skynet, and it operates through AI, and it uses facial recognition technology to monitor its population and is being used for the social credit system. This is where they view people on these flock cameras all day, and if they catch you jaywalking, they will take points off of your social credit system, and they can do things like revoke your privileges to go out and watch a movie. They can turn off your electricity. They can turn off your card that you use to pay for your groceries. They penalize people for not being good members of society, and it uses facial recognition, and this AI system just puts these things on your tab, basically, whenever you're not a good functioning member of society as it pertains to their idea of what that should look like. And when you look online, it says that there are nearly a billion of these cameras in China. And we're seeing these same cameras pop up all over America, even in rural areas. We now have this same technology in all major retail stores like Walmart and Sam's Club and Target and all of these big box stores. They have cameras that utilize facial recognition technology. And we know that the Bible says that the beast system will be a control system that will control people to a point to where it will dictate who can buy or sell based on who has the mark, right? The Bible says he causes all small and great, rich and poor, free and bond to not be able to buy or sell save he that had a mark in his right hand or his forehead. Now, as we see all of these other things happening, which is very interesting, and some of it to me is quite disturbing, because we see things with spiritual eyes, right? We know that the Bible tells us that things like this are going to be happening. But I've noticed in all of these European countries, there is a rise in radical extremism with Islam. And in multiple places across Europe, it's getting really bad. In places like Cologne, Germany, it's not safe for a woman to go out in public alone, because they will be sexually assaulted in the streets. And this has happened. But now we're seeing something even more disturbing, like in Dearborn, Michigan, they have such a strong population of these people that they are now broadcasting on loudspeakers over Dearborn this Muslim call to prayer, and it is echoing through the city streets. And it makes me think of a time when I was in Iraq in Balad, about 60 miles north of Baghdad. You could hear this all day long. They projected this stuff, and people are concerned in this community. They're saying, hey, this is what we're hearing. Now, I want you to understand something. I support everyone's right and freedom to use their free will given to them by their Creator to practice whatever religion they see fit. God gives these people free will. I don't desire to intervene with their right to do so. That's what makes America what America is you have a right and a freedom to do as you please. And if we don't have that, that's a problem. But we need to look at what's on the fruit of Islam. When you look into the verses of the Quran, I try not to study books from other religions, but again, we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. They have verses in their religious text that says that they should kill the unbeliever wherever they find them and smite them at their necks and their fingertips, which to me, in my understanding, basically means to cut off the heads of the unbeliever and their hands. Now, what's more disturbing to me is that we're seeing a rise in politicians that support Sharia law. And there's a lot of cities in the United States where people are calling for Sharia law. Now, when I looked into Sharia law, I saw some really disturbing things as it pertained to floggings and beheadings and women that were just executed in the street because they might have got caught in adultery or whatever was going on, just beatings. I'm talking about brutal. But one of the most disturbing things that I've saw that's affiliated with this religion and with this Sharia law is the genital mutilation of young women. These human rights organizations that keep track of these statistics say that over 230 million young women have had this happen to them through this religion, and they range in ages from 15 years old down to an infant. And when I see that, that is inherently evil. Now, I can't sit here and explain to you why it is that these people believe it's a good thing to do this, but anybody that believes that it's okay to take a baby or a 14, 15-year-old girl and take a razor blade and slice off parts of the things that God has given them to mutilate them, to cause problems down the road, or to keep them from doing something that they were created to do, to me, that is evil. That is a type of fruit that is on the tree that shows me that this is anything but a peaceful or good situation for anybody to endure. If you want to do some more research on that, you can. I've seen enough to know that it is not of God. But something else that is disturbing to me is that it is a known belief in this religious community that when their Mahdi, right, their leader, their Mahdi, rises in the West, they are called to go and make jihad against the unbeliever or the infidel. And whenever they do this, their Quran tells them that they are allowed to take the wives and the children of the enemy and keep them as slaves. And their text basically says in Al-Azab, in this passage, those slaves whom your right hand possesses, whom Allah has given to you, means the slave girls whom you took from the war booty, are also permitted to you. Now, what does that sound like? That tells me that they're saying that basically when they go to war with the unbeliever, which is pretty much reference towards those people who believe in Jesus Christ, right? The Christian, they're saying that you can take their wives, their women, and make them your slaves, and it's permitted to you by your God to do whatever you want to with them. And it also references sexual things. Now listen, I am not versed in this book. I am not going to go in and study this book. The only book that matters to me is the living word of God. The Bible tells me there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and it is the man, Christ Jesus. But we have to look at the fruit. Jesus said, "You shall know them by their fruit." And in the Quran, it says that Allah is the greatest deceiver. What did Jesus say in the book of John 8 and 44? He said that Satan is a liar and the father of it. If you call your God the greatest deceiver, that means that he is a liar. If you deceive someone, that means that you lie. Jesus said Satan is the father of lies. He's a liar and the father of it. So that tells me that that's starting to look like that's what kind of fruit is on this tree. And if you're the greatest deceiver and Jesus said Satan is the father of lies, then what does that say about this religion who wants to cut the heads off of the unbeliever and the hands and take their wives as their slaves and sexually assault them and mutilate the genitals of these young girls? What's that look like? It looks to me like it is an antichrist religion, because Jesus said, "Whoever is not for me is against me, and whoever does not gather scatters abroad." There's only two spirits, the Holy Spirit and the Antichrist spirit, and there is no in between. That tells me that this, by definition, is an antichrist religion, and it is at your doorstep, America. While you ate your popcorn and watched the greatest show on earth between the talking heads on the news propaganda channels and the presidential candidates that bickered back and forth on policies that were hand-selected to keep you divided, they were bussing these people in by the tens of millions, and they used taxpayer money to fund it. They brought over 15,000 illegal immigrants in a day through Eagle Pass, Texas alone, and they were telling you these are not men, women, and children from Mexico. They are from countries all over the world and dominantly were from Muslim countries. And these were not refugees that consisted of women and children. These were fighting-aged males, and they were being distributed to certain cities and put up. We've talked about this in these high-rise hotels. They're telling us that there could be 20 million of these people here. Some are saying 50 million. 15,000 people a day is a massive operation. But what do you think their plan is for these people that are here, that have this ideology that I'm talking about, to a point to where we're seeing major U.S. cities broadcast a call to prayer by this religion of Islam that they tell us is peaceful, but they all seem to be the ones that are performing these acts of terror. And now we're seeing how Paris, France, and Belgrade, and Tokyo, and some of these major U.S. cities that are either canceling or scaling back their New Year's Eve celebration because of a fear of terrorist actions and all of these things that are happening. They're telling us here in the United States that we need to watch out and be on alert. The Department of Homeland Security is saying you need to be watchful for terrorists. There's going to be some kind of an attack soon. They're painting this narrative almost like they've got it all set up and in place. And as we see that happening, we're seeing a rise in persecution. Everybody heard about what was going on in Nigeria. They killed 52,000 of these Christians in these villages who worshiped the name of Jesus. And guess who was coming in and killing them? It was the Muslims. It was the very people that we're talking about here. And listen, guys, I'm not telling you these things so that you can go hate these people. The Bible says that we should bless those who curse us and pray for those who despitefully use us. We should love our neighbors, but we should also love our enemies. That's a hard thing to do, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be aware and that you shouldn't be sounding the alarm and talking about the fact that they are murdering people for their faith. This is not just a physical war, because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not just because they don't like you because of your flesh. You are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We just saw recently where Nicaragua has banned Bibles in their country. That means if you're a tourist and you're traveling to their country, you are not legally allowed to bring a Bible into their country. And I looked into this and I saw the Nicaraguan flag and the symbol that was on it. And I thought, wow, that looks familiar. And I heard an old saying that said symbolism will be their downfall. And you always have to remember that the devil is in the details. Now, right around the same time that I saw this with Nicaragua, how they've banned Bibles, now UK has literally made it illegal to silently pray in certain parts of the country. That means if you get caught praying silently near an abortion clinic in the UK, you can be arrested and charged with a crime and put in jail. Are you beginning to see a trend here? Are you starting to see signs of something that's happening that Jesus said would happen? Are you prepared in your heart for the fact that the Antichrist is preparing to make war with the saints and to overcome them? We see the beast system literally coming online, this control state, this surveillance state with AI, and all of these things that our own government is signing up for, and people are blindly being walked into it. And now, I want to ask you a question. Do you think that the men of this generation who claim to be men of God have the integrity to walk like David and to walk like Samson? We now live in a time where modern day Christianity has created a generation of weak and spineless men who are conditioned through propaganda videos like these ISIS beheading videos that somehow if you're a Christian, that you're supposed to just lay down and let somebody slice your head off. Need I remind you that we are men of God? We serve the same God that sent David to kill Goliath and to cut his head off. We serve the same God that sent Samson to kill 3,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey, who led David on conquest to kill armies of people who stood against God. We serve that same God because the Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchanging. Do you not understand that Jesus never told us to be weak, spineless individuals who just lay down and die? God's people have never been weak people. Now make no mistake, Jesus also never told us to go out and be violent. Jesus never told us to go out and do harm to anyone. Jesus preached love. A lot of people use the scripture where Jesus said, if they smite you on one cheek, turn to them the other. That was an example on how to be the bigger man. Don't be quick to run into mischief. God hates feet who are swift to running to mischief. But if somebody smites you on one cheek and you turn to them the other and they smite that one also, you're going to run out of cheeks pretty quick. And this is not a scripture that's used to make us a weak and defenseless people. Do you not understand that God said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, to give you a future and a hope, and not for despair, but to give you an expected end. He knows the plans he has for you. Do you think that because this modern day lukewarm cotton candy Christianity tells you that you can't stand up and have a backbone to be able to be a man, that somehow you can't say nothing against evil? The Bible says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And whatever is made manifest is light. You're called to be the light of the world. And if you reprove evil, you're going to get friction. None of the people throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament, the prophets, the disciples, they carried swords. Jesus told them, there's coming a time when you're going to have to sell your garment and buy a sword. In the book of Luke, chapter 22, starting in verse 35, going through 37, it says, and he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must be yet accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. He's saying that these things must be fulfilled. And when I leave here, you're going to understand that in the last days, perilous times shall come. It is going to be a dangerous time in the world for whoever claims to follow me and believe in me, because you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And the disciples went and found two swords. And they said, Lord, will these be enough? And he said, it will be enough. What he's trying to tell you is that there's coming a time when it's going to get so dangerous for those who believe in Jesus Christ that if they don't have a sword, they better sell the shirt off of their back to buy one. There is a reason why the Constitution of the United States of America allows you to have a Second Amendment. You have a right to defend your life and your home and your family. God allowed you this right. Many people are confused because they're tossed to and fro in these denominational religions with every wind of doctrine. They don't believe that they have a right given to them by their Creator to defend their life and their home because they can't see the forest for the trees because they've been lied to by some paycheck preacher that tells them things that they want them to hear because they didn't learn how to rightly divide the word of truth when they went to seminary school. When the Bible clearly says in Exodus chapter 22, starting in verse 2, going through verse 3, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no bloodshed be for him. But if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be bloodshed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. What's that saying there? If a thief is caught breaking into your house and he is smitten that he dies, there will be no blood guilt for him. What's the law say? If somebody breaks into your house and they mean you harm and you smite them and they die, you're not going to go to jail for that. But God is also saying there's not going to be blood guilt for that. But you don't wait until the sun rises on him and go find him and do it, because then it's going to be a problem. He's telling you that if somebody comes to your home looking to do you harm, or to harm your family, or to break into your home, or to take somebody from your house and make them their concubine and do all kinds of evil to them, you have a right to use whatever you have, your sword, to defend your life, your home, and your family. Wake up and understand that these lukewarm doctrines are lies from the devil. Satan doesn't want you to understand that Jesus himself told you to go buy a sword. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We don't pack swords in this generation. We pack AR-15s and semi-automatic weapons and rifles and pistols and shotguns and all these things that the Second Amendment tells us a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. You need your Second Amendment right to protect the rest of your Constitution. And make no mistake, there are forces coming against this nation that do not want you to understand that you have these rights. They do not want you to have this constitutional right. Why do you think we have these mayors in these major cities and all of these people that have been shuffled into this nation that are in the streets protesting, shouting that they want Sharia law? What do you think's going to happen when the Constitution is shredded and Sharia law takes effect and these people become a majority and the American people become a minority? People need to wake up and understand that this is a real thing. It's happening. And they're telling us, guess what? This is going to be a thing. You need to understand that these people have a plan to make war and chaos against all those who do not believe in their religion. They're coming against the people of God. This is biblical. You need to prepare your house. If you don't have a sword in your house, You need to sell your garment and buy one. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to get you riled up and tell you that you need to go out and do any certain thing to do anything bad. I'm telling you that you better be preparing your house, because the Bible says that Satan is going to use people to come against the people of God. You have a right to protect your home that is endowed to you by your Creator. God gave you this right. Jesus told you to go buy this sword and protect yourself in these perilous times. They show you these propaganda videos of people just laying down and not saying anything and just getting their head cut off. If I'm in that position and they've already got me bound head and foot, do you think I'm going to be sitting there quiet and just let them do it? I'm going to be shouting the name of Jesus Christ in that moment and being a witness. They're going to have to gag me and tape my mouth shut, because I will never stop proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord. They want you to see that video and think that you're just supposed to be some quiet little nobody and not proclaim the name of our God and our Lord and Savior. If they're going to try to do me that way, they're going to hear me using my last breath to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and one Spirit, and one God, and Father of all. And that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then no other religion is above the name of Jesus. There is no demon that is above the name of Jesus, because Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there is nothing that will defeat him. The enemy is already defeated. This battle has already been won, but we are waiting for this to play out. In the book of Revelation, when he said, "I saw beneath the altar the souls of them who were martyred for their faith. They were beheaded for their faith. They cried out with a loud voice. They said, 'How long, O Lord, must we wait before you avenge us on those who dwell on the earth?' And he said, 'Just wait for a little season.' And he gave them white robes. And he said, 'It must be fulfilled that your brothers and sisters in Christ must be killed the same way that you were.' We are about to see an hour of chaos and tribulation like we have never seen before. I'm not trying to declare that this is fixing to happen tomorrow or the next day. No man knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, but our Father only. But we see the signs that Jesus gave us that would happen before he returns." Guys, I'm going to tell you something. I was praying this past Sunday, and all of a sudden this overwhelming voice came into my spirit that said, "Darkness is about to fall upon this land." And I thought, wow, it shook me to my bones. And I thought, what does that mean? And I prayed about it. And I said, "Lord, show me what this means." And I saw that when darkness falls upon this land, we're going to see a time of chaos and peril, but revival is going to break out in the midst of it. We're going to see people who come to despair, and they are going to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in this hour. And while we see darkness and evil and chaos, we're going to see a harvest of souls like we've never seen in any generation in times past. I know that's hard to comprehend what that would look like, but you have to understand that in a time of trial and a time of darkness, people get to their lowest point. And God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." Make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, I know a lot of people might say that this is fear-mongering, or they might say that I'm trying to be a doomsday prophet. I'm just trying to get you to prepare your house and your heart for the things that are coming. I know there's a lot of elderly people out there that are not able to do certain things. The Lord is with you. You are not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But if the younger people of this generation will come together with one accord in community and begin to prepare and wake up and see the things that are happening around you, look at the snare that's closing in on this generation that's being done by the Antichrist. You are not ignorant to his devices. The Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant to his devices. This is war. This is spiritual war. They want you dumb, blind, and asleep to what's happening around you because they don't want you prepared. The Bible says that the prudent foresee evil coming and they hide themselves, but the simple pass on and are punished for it. They have America right where they want them. They have the people of this nation in this rut where you stare at your phone all day long, you're paying attention to all of these distractions, and you're not preparing your house appropriately. But I want you to understand something here. I've read the end of this book and I know who wins this war. It is written. Satan is already defeated. We need to be prepared in our heart and make ready in our soul. I know in whom I hath believed. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I want to read to you a scripture here out of Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 35. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, I say, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." You need to make no mistake that you are called to be a soldier. I don't care if you're 18 years old or if you're 75 years old and you're bound to a chair. You are called to be a soldier. The Bible says we are called to endure hardness as good soldiers of Christ. And no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life so that he may please him who hath called him to be a soldier. We are all members of one body. If you don't understand what that means, you need to pray for discernment and go read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and understand that you need to seek the Lord's wisdom on what it is that he has called you to do to be the appropriate member of this body. There's a lot of people in the church that try to walk in a calling that does not belong to them. They try to walk in an anointing that does not belong to them. You need to seek the Lord's will for your life so that you can be members of this body, fitly joined together, that come together with one accord, that's not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Understand that we cannot operate as the body of Christ if we are divided, because Jesus said a house divided against itself cannot stand, and a nation divided against itself will be brought to desolation. Why do you think they have CNN and Fox News? And if you go to CNN, they tell you to hate the people at Fox, and the Fox people tell you to hate the people at CNN, and they keep you divided because this is a device of the devil. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Some of you out there are called to be prayer warriors. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are you doing allowing these false churches and these false teachers to keep you dumbed down and going into a building and hiding your candle under a bushel and not walking in your calling and your anointing? We need you as a laborer in the harvest. Pray that the Lord would show you what it is that he has called you to do so that you can come out from among those places that keep you divided and ignorant and asleep and walk in that calling that God has set forth for your life. It does not matter what you're capable of physically. You have a heart and a soul. And if you come into agreement with the Word of God, he will use you in a mighty way that you cannot even imagine. He is waiting for you in this moment. If you've been going through things in your life and you just can't seem to get everything together and trouble always finds you, it's because Satan desires to have you so that he may sift you like wheat. It is time for you to come out of that darkness and walk in the light. Jesus said you are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. The only reason that your candle is under a bushel is because you have kept it there. You have talents and gifts that God has given you. If you feel depressed and you feel anxiety and all of these things that are not of God but of the devil, you need to rebuke these things and pray and fast and get these demonic oppressions off your life. Begin to access the weapons of your warfare that are not carnal, but mighty through God. Understand that everything in this book is a guide to show you how to do battle. We are called to put on the full armor of God so that we may be able to stand against these things of the devil. Make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, the time for being lukewarm has long since passed. The time to walk in your calling is now. We see the devices and the systems of the enemy rising up to devour the children of God. This will come to pass. Jesus said, "Fear not, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." We're getting ready to see some things. Right now is the hour. We were born for a time such as this. If you desire to step into this battle and fight the good fight and stay the course and be steadfast and unmovable in your faith, it's time to seek the Lord with your whole heart. Stop playing this lukewarm game with sin. I see all of these internet celebrities and all of these people that are trying to chase clout by going and getting baptized. And then a week later, they're back on here saying, "Well, I'm going to go do what I got to do to make this money. Y'all mad at me because I'm walking with the world again. Hey, I got baptized, but y'all are just judging me." Jesus told the woman taken in adultery to go and sin no more. What are these people thinking? They are children of disobedience. Do not be deceived. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets, for many of them have gone out into the world to deceive many. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves." I've seen some of these guys just recently that got hundreds of thousands and millions of views because they chose to go get baptized. And 2 weeks later, they're right back on social media using foul language and doing all of this stuff that's of the enemy and exemplifying fruits of the Antichrist. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not called to be perfect. We can never be perfect. Our righteousness are as filthy rags, but make no mistake, we should strive to enter in at that narrow gate. We should press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you're going to go out here and claim the name of Jesus and you're not going to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, you are playing with fire. Do you not understand that Jesus said the punishment for a lukewarm believer is going to be worse than that of the unbeliever? He said, "I'd rather that you would be cold or hot than to be lukewarm. For if you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth." You're playing a dangerous game, because if we continue to sin willfully, as it says in the book of Hebrews, if we continue to sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins except for a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. Of how much sore punishment shall he be thought worthy who hath done these things in spite of the Spirit of grace and hath trodden underfoot the Son of God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Once you claim the blood of the covenant that Jesus shed on that cross for your sins and you use it as a license to sin, you are playing with hell fire. You are going to be cast alive into the lake of fire, because not only are you going to have your blood on your hands, but you're going to have the blood of all of those who you led astray on your hands. And I do not want to see that for you. The reason that I do this is because I am set for the defense of the gospel. The Lord told me that he was going to use me in a mighty way to wake up his people with the anointing of the prophet Elijah, with the heart of a lion and the spirit of a warrior. He gave me the gift of teaching, the gift of wisdom, and the platform to do the work of an evangelist. There are a lot of people that will listen to what I have to say because they don't want to listen to what a preacher that stands in a pulpit and condemns them for a lifestyle that they themselves too live. We're not called to condemn, but to edify. If you have somebody in your life that truly cares about you, they're going to tell you, "Hey man, you got to come out of that iniquity." A lot of times we see this and we get mad and we kind of, "Yeah, I don't want to hear that. You get out of here, man. You're judging me." It's not judgment. It's righteous judgment. If somebody loves you, they're going to tell you to come out of that sin. You need to receive these people because they are your brother. Because in Proverbs 27:17, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance of his friend." What are we doing getting mad at the people that are trying to help us to get away from the pit of hell? You got church people that say, "Well, we're not supposed to be fruit inspectors. inspectors. That is a lie of the devil. You are by definition called to inspect the fruit that's on the tree. Jesus said a good tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit, and a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. And every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Do you not understand that if you are growing in an orchard and God has blessed you to put forth roots and grow up, and he comes to you looking for fruit and you have none, he's going to cut you down and cast you into the fire because you are useless in his kingdom. He created you for a purpose, for a plan, to give you an expected end. And if you don't walk in that calling, you have no benefit in the kingdom, and he will no longer use you. He will say, never bear fruit again. Wake up and understand that this is a generation that's about to see the end of all things. We are living in the last moments of the last hours of the last days, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not declaring that I know the day that this is going to happen, but we see the signs that Jesus said were going to take place. I'm giving you just a small piece of what's happening here. I've had people accuse me of being a fear monger and all this. We're not afraid of this. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I don't have fear in my heart. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. And he that has fear has not been made perfect in love. You need to understand that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're not led to the slaughter as sheep and killed all the day long. He said, nay, I say in all these things, we're more than conquerors. We are going to overcome the enemy, Satan himself, because we love not our lives unto death. You need to read your Bible. You need to pray for discernment. If you don't understand this Bible, you need to dig in and pray that the Lord would give you understanding. Ask him to bless you with knowledge, wisdom, discernment, and understanding. The Bible says that knowledge is the principal thing, but in all you're getting, get understanding. We know that the victory has already been won. We know that the victory happened on the cross when Jesus said, "It is finished." But he said, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You need to be studying this word. You need to be listening to the voice of God. He said, be still and know that I am God. You need to seek him with your whole heart. Get somewhere private. Get away from the noise. Put your cell phone down. Turn the radio off. Turn the TV off. Go for a walk in the woods. Get alone with God and seek his will for your life. Be still and know that he is God. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, starting in chapter 29 and verse 16, it says, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Do you understand what that's saying? God is going to allow you to see the fruit and the end of the unrighteous. The Bible tells me that the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. We're not called to be these spineless cowards that are being raised up in this generation through these lukewarm churches. We have a God that is a God of peace, but he's also a God of war. And there's a time and a season for everything under the sun. And it's time for us to go forth as laborers into the harvest, to put our hands to the plow and remember Lot's wife, and don't be looking back, because if you're looking back and turning away from the plan that God has prepared for you, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. Ladies and gentlemen, now is the time. If not now, then when? And if not us, then who? We need to have that spirit of a servant that says, here am I, Lord, send me. I know this is a hard truth to understand. I know these things are heavy on your spirit. We have children in this generation who are going to have to endure hard things. They're not going to get the childhood that we had. You already see that with the defilement of the minds of the children. If you haven't seen some of these previous episodes that we've done, I want you to understand that these are not things that I speak of my own. I pray and I fast and I ask the Lord to give me wisdom to share with you. But I know that the Lord has given me this platform to sound the alarm, to be set as a watchman on the wall for the people of God, to let you know that you need to be preparing your heart first. Make spiritual preparation first. Set your mind on spiritual things first. But you also need to be preparing your house physically, because there is coming a time of trial, and you are going to be hated by all nations for the name of Jesus Christ and for those who carry his testimony. I'd like to take a moment to say a prayer for you, for wisdom, for knowledge, and for understanding, and for God's hedge of protection, for Him to guide you into all truth in these moments that we see these devices of Satan being set up. If you haven't yet got a chance, go check out our website. It's TylerWoodEncounter.com, www.TylerWoodEncounter.com. We have these t-shirts on there. I want to say thank you to everybody who's went on there and got these shirts. It helps us what we do here at the Tyler Wood Encounter. They're extremely good quality shirts. I say this every time, but we've got new subscribers every week. They're next level t-shirts. They're designed to fit both genders. They are very well made. They're the best quality shirts that I could find. We have several different designs. If you get a chance, go check them out. We thank you for everybody's love and support and prayers. If you've made a comment or sent a message, I promise you I'm going to get back to you. It just takes time. I don't have a huge team of people here to do this. And I try to personally answer these messages because I want to pray for you guys. I want to make intercession for you guys. And I ask that you would pray for me. So I want to go to prayer for you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we come to you tonight in the mighty name of Jesus to thank you for this opportunity to receive your word. We know that your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that thing that you have purposed it for, Father. And I pray for all the people out there that can hear the sound of my voice, all of those people who have been called according to your purpose, Lord, that you would bless them with knowledge, wisdom, discernment, and understanding. Lord, bless us with your understanding that we would receive these words from your word into our hearts, and that they would be applied to our lives, that you would write the scriptures on the tables of our heart, that they would be as signs upon our hands and as frontlets between our eyes, and we would write these scriptures on the doorpost of our house, Father. I pray that you would set your hedge of protection around us in this hour as we see this darkness approaching the earth, Lord. Then I pray that you would continue to increase our anointing, increase our light in this hour, that we may be able to invade the gates of hell to populate the kingdom of heaven. Let us be disciples and fishers of men and the light of the world in a city that's set upon a hill, Lord. Let us go forth as beacons of light to bring forth fruit for your kingdom, Father. And we pray that you would let your word ring true in our life. When you said that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and we thank you for these promises, Father. We stand in agreement tonight on these things, that even though darkness will come, we pray, Father, that you would let revival come, that you would let a major, massive harvest of souls happen in this generation. No matter what, Lord, let us be found faithful. Help us to remain steadfast and unmovable in our faith, Father, as we pray for all those who need you, all those who are lost, all those who have asked us for prayer. Father, we lift them up to you, and we stand in the gap for these people. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and we say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is and was and is to come, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit in this hour and use us as laborers in the harvest. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we praise, honor, and worship you. We love you and we thank you. Amen. Guys, I thank you for taking the time to listen to this message once again. I know these are some heavy things to carry, but the Bible tells us that we must be wise as serpents. Sometimes it's not fun to hear these things, but it edifies you and it lets you know how to be prepared. This has been the Tyler Wood Encounter. My name is Tyler Wood, and I rob hell for a living. I love y'all tonight. God bless y'all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Savior of the world.